This podcast is part of the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Liberals Gun Corner. I'm your host, Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This is our first, our inaugural episode. And because of that, I figured it'd be a good idea to briefly introduce myself. Yes, I am indeed what you just heard, a social liberal born and raised in San Francisco, California, with nearly all of what that probably implies to a lot of people. So as to avoid boring you to death with my particular story, which probably isn't what you really want to hear anyway, I'll just say I'm an avowed, proud liberal, a proud advocate of free and open source software, and an outspoken firearms enthusiast. Surprise! That last part seems to surprise, indeed, an awful lot of people. Yeah, conservatives, sure. But also a lot of liberals, too, it seems. Well, you've heard me frequently claim that to be a true liberal, you've got to be 100% pro-Constitution, and thus by definition. Yeah, by definition. 100% pro-Second Amendment, too. Now, that throws a lot of people for a loop. Can't handle it. You can almost see their minds warping, trying somehow to wrap themselves around this concept of a pro-gun lib. Now, don't think for a second I don't get some sort of a kick out of that. You bet I do. But it's still a serious subject. More serious than I think a lot of people give it credit for being. Now, previously, I'd done a sort of preview talking more about my background and how I came to be a pro-Second Amendment liberal. It's up on the website, www.liberalsguncorner.com, if you'd like to go take a listen and bore yourself with my background. But, yeah, that was a preview, and since some people actually did listen to it, and it actually got a positive response, we figured we'd go forward with the show. And this is our inaugural episode here at the Liberals Gun Corner, I figured we'd better set the tone right away. In the preview, I mentioned we were going to talk about liberalism on the show. Well, folks, that's the very topic of this very edition. I will warn you now, I am a liberal. This show will, therefore, tend to have a liberal tone. And for my fellow liberals listening, I must also warn you, you won't always agree with what you hear over here. I said at the end of the preview that it's probably going to be a bumpy ride sometimes. If you're looking for a place where I'll just confirm everything that you already believe, you might not like this show. But consider, if I were to do that, there would be no need for this show. The whole premise of the Liberals Gun Corner is the free expression of ideas. It's my way of political advocacy for the maintenance of our freedoms. And that's my number one concern, our freedoms. Even if someone ends up not liking it here and there. Well, folks, this is America. And unlike many other places I've been in my travels, we get to do that here. And so we will. So what just is liberalism, really? You ask a bunch of people on the street, I found you'll typically hear them say something like, oh, basically what the Democrats say. If they're self-identified social conservatives, they'll typically spit it out with disgust in their voices. If they're what many self-identified social liberals, quote-unquote, call themselves, they'll say it typically a bit more contemplatively, and if they're Democratic Party members, they'll say it with enthusiasm. Is this true? Is this, what the Democrats say basically, the meaning of liberalism? Now, if you ask many of the conservative talking heads like, oh, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, you know, Glenn Beck, Ann Coulter, the usual suspects, they'll tell you something much more hostile, typically. According to them, liberalism is many things, none of them good. A lack of personal responsibility, freeloading off of other people, taxing the rich and giving it for free to the poor / lazy, I've heard both words, coddling criminals, legislating socialist collectivism, promoting something that they call the gay agenda, desecrating the American flag, taking our guns away, eliminating God from society, the Christian one, of course, hatred against whitey, the destruction of our individual liberties, virtually a cancer eating up our society. And I believe at least one of them actually used that term. Wouldn't surprise me if there were more. To them, and the many Americans who listen to them, that's liberalism. Is that true? Is this really liberalism? Well, being a San Francisco liberal that I am, that sure didn't sound like how I grew up. So I figured, hey, I'm a pretty smart guy, at least I think so. I sure know how to read a dictionary. And I've actually got one. Good one, too. Merriam-Webster's Third New International Dictionary. Dun-da-da. Yeah, the big honker. The three-volume one. So I opened it up and took a look. You know, maybe I shouldn't have done that. You see, I found something really odd when I did that. Here's what Merriam-Webster said. Liberalism, noun, colon, a political philosophy based on belief in progress, the essential goodness of man, and the autonomy of the individual, and standing for tolerance and freedom for the individual from arbitrary authority in all spheres of life, especially by the protection of political and civil liberties, and for government under law with the consent of the governed. Whoa. I don't know about you, but that sounds like some pretty heady stuff there to me. Sure sounded familiar, but I wasn't sure right off where I'd heard it or seen it before. More sort of a nagging, I've heard this before. I know I've heard this before. Where the heck was it? And regardless of where I'd heard it, let's ask the question. Is this really what liberalism means? Well, as Andy Griffith would have said, now that just resulted in all sorts of confusion. Didn't take too long to sort it out, though, fortunately. See, I'd taken a course in the American Revolution not too long before that. You know, school is really a wild trip, folks. You learn stuff. And I don't mean just stuff you hadn't heard before. No, no. You also learn stuff about stuff you have heard before. You go, oh, yeah. So that's what that means. And if you read my essay entitled The True Meaning of the Second Amendment, you already know that's happened to me more than once. Well, big surprise, it happened again. See, it occurred to me where I'd heard that before. Uh-huh. The first time went something like this. I quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Uh-oh. Houston, we have a problem. We've got three directly conflicting definitions of liberalism now. This is not good. One says Democratic Party platform. Another says socialist cancer on our society. And the third is straight out of the Declaration of Independence. We got to pick one because they look to me to be mutually exclusive. Is it the Democratic Party's platform? Is it what the conservative pundits say it is, a socialist cancer? Or is it what Merriam-Webster says it is? Which is it? Before we can in good conscience go any further, we have to answer this question. It's critical that we do so. We're going to take a 30-second station break, and when we come back, we'll tackle that question.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
Okay, we're back. Remember that little warning I gave at the beginning when I said some of you might not agree with what I have to say on this show? Remember that little warning about the bumpy ride? Well, now's the time to fasten your seatbelts, folks. It's probably going to get pretty bumpy for some of you now. Maybe that's not so bad a thing. I submit the following position. Liberalism, folks, is exactly what the Founding Fathers said that it is. It is spelled out for us in vivid detail in the Declaration of Independence, the implementation of which is our Constitution. That's right, folks. I claim that Merriam-Webster pulled straight from Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Patrick Henry, George Mason, Samuel Adams, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Madame C.J. Walker, A. Philip Randolph, Martin Luther King Jr., and a whole host of other fighters for real, true freedom and justice for all. Dave Brubeck did it. Frank Sinatra did it. Yep, Frankie. I know, because my dad made sure I knew. If Bing Crosby was racism personified, Sinatra was the polar opposite. The original Black Panthers of the 1960s in Oakland, California did it. Remember, I'm from San Francisco, so I do know about that. Malcolm X did it too, after he finished waking up after his pilgrimage, they call it the Hajj, to Mecca, Saudi Arabia. And let us not forget that most noble of U.S. presidents who also did it. Abraham Lincoln. What all these people have in common? Well, I imagine several things, but the relevant one here is a core fundamental belief that our Pledge of Allegiance simply codified in 1892. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That means the liberty and justice are guaranteed to us constitutionally anywhere in this nation that we go. States may have their individual rules, yeah, sure. But they cannot infringe on our constitutionally guaranteed rights. You know, that supreme law of the land thing and all. That also, turns out, has a number of somewhat less than convenient implications, depending on your point of view. Here's one. I fundamentally believe that the civil rights movement was necessary and correct. History, as we know, is replete with the abuses of people just because they weren't white. And if you were a black man, oh, God help you, it was all the worse. You were put in chain gangs or even hung or shot. A little 14-year-old boy named Emmett Till got brutally mutilated for the mere accusation of wolf whistling at a white woman. You know, you'd think that having faced a certain level of discrimination themselves, a lot more feminist white women would understand that better than many of them seem to. I just think of that every now and again. Well, fortunately, the Civil Rights Movement did take place. The March on Washington did result in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And Jim Crow eventually got, for the most part, banished. Certainly that evil legal regime is gone today. That was liberalism at work there. Right there. It was a struggle for that promise of liberty and justice for all. As we all know, that struggle continues and probably always will as long as humans exist. But you know what? It's proving successful. We got to keep doing it. Here's another one. The subject of same-sex or gay marriage, that's currently a big-time hot-button political issue. People can't stop talking about it, good or bad. Social conservatives certainly don't like it. They typically claim that it's against God. It's an abomination against the Lord Jesus Christ. Their objections to it are typically religious. Well, it turns out there are several legally married gay couples. Here's a famous one for you. George Mr. Sulu Takei and his husband, Brad Altman. They live out in California. They're married legally. Personally, I don't see how their marriage is somehow hurting me. Therefore, I have no problem with it. The same applies to the practice of religion. Many Christian conservatives do not like anything that, quote-unquote, looks Muslim. You know that recent shooting by some white supremacists against that temple with the Sikhs, the Sikh Indians? The multiple burnings of a mosque in the last month? Well, I think that demonstrates that all too well for all of us. Personally, I don't give a rip what your religious beliefs are, so long as you don't try to push them on the rest of us. Doesn't matter if it's Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Sikhism, Hinduism, Wicca, Pastafarianism, or any other kind of ism or entity. Go ahead and worship however you want if that's your thing. Your life, your business. Hey. Well, here's another one. The Confederate battle flag is routinely hailed by many white Southerners as a symbol of their heritage. They wear it on their clothing. They wear it as clothing. They put it on them var pickup trucks, fly it in front of their homes, those new temporary stick-on tattoos and so on. Yeehaw! I'll tell you what I think of that thing. I despise it. I loathe it. I'd like to spit on it, trample it with my hiking boots right after stepping through some dog, you know what, and then burn it in disgrace. You want to burn the flag? Well, there's one for you. Go burn that one. I view the Confederate flag the same way Jews view the Nazi swastika. However, I seem to recall an attempt at one point to outlaw the flying of that thing. I don't remember the particulars anymore. It's been a while. But I believe, I hope my memory's right on this. I believe it was at the state or local level somewhere. I do remember this, though. I remember my initial thought about it. It was, good, yeehaw! But then I started thinking more on it, see? And my mind changed pretty quickly to, bad, no go! This is one of those times, turns out, when believing in real, true liberalism becomes less than convenient. Sure did for me. I wanted to celebrate with that new law. But I couldn't. Why? Simple. It was an attack on the First Amendment to the Constitution, that freedom of speech clause. Phil Donahue did a show in the late 1990s, and this is one reason why I admire the man. He had a member of the Ku Klux Klan on his show, along with a sympathizer who wasn't a member, but he sure did believe in it. The Klansman himself, full regalia, white ghost outfit, hood, symbols, you name it. The sympathizer was wearing a t-shirt, a particularly disgusting one to me. It had Martin Luther King Jr.'s head as the bullseye of a target. Yeah, that's right. And the shirt said on the bottom, and I quote, "Our dream came true." Uh-huh. They seem proud of their hatred for anything not white. Boldly declaring on the show, "I am a racist!" Really, really, these guys were vitriolic, truly rotten fellas. They were everything that any sane person would hate in humanity. Bull Connor of Birmingham, Alabama would love these two. Well, close to the end of the show, Mr. Donahue put the following question to the audience. Quote, "Even though we may be disgusted by what they have to say, do they have the right to say it?" Close quote. Folks, my mouth hung open for a moment. I pretty immediately remembered Voltaire's famously attributed wisdom, "I may detest what you have to say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it." Sure, a lot of you learned that in school same as I did. Later on, I learned that the actual statement was a little different. Turns out it actually goes, "I detest what you write, but I would give my life to make it possible for you to continue to write." He wrote this in a 1770 letter to a fellow named Abbot La Roche. I hope I'm saying that right. Despite the slight difference in words, the sentiment's obviously the same. We'll take another 30-second break here for station identification. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened as a result of that show and the effect it ultimately had. See you in a bit.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership. gunrightsradio.com.
Okay, we're back. We just got through talking about a Phil Donahue show in the late 1990s that taught me a lesson or two. Remember that that book by Robert Fulghum? It was on fire when he lay down on it, and he promised to tell the story about it afterwards later on? Well, he did. Well, like him, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Here's what happened as a result of that show. Fast forward a few years. I just moved to Virginia. Yep, good old Virginia. Started encountering the Confederate flag on a pretty regular basis. You can imagine what I thought. But I also remember that Phil Donahue show. And as both an American and a veteran, I had a decision to make. That seems to happen a lot. Well, after some thought on that, I ultimately decided. Suppose someone were to try to outlaw that again, you know, do a repeat, tries to legally prohibit those right-winger nut jobs from flying their oh-so-beloved symbol of hate. If that were to happen, what would I do? I realized that I would actually have to march with the nut jobs. Yeah, I know. Believe me, not in support of that accursed thing. Oh, no. No, something much more important. Their right to say it. I realized this. If I won't support their right to say what they say, even though I detest it, then how can I, in good conscience, expect them to back my rights to do the same thing? Well, yeah, I definitely have a clothespin on my nose while I'm marching. Yeah, you betcha. But I'd also have a sign saying something like, "No, I don't support their views, but they have the right." Now, just imagine that. Picture this in your heads, folks. The son of a so-called mixed-race couple, that'd be me, who hates the Confederacy and everything it stands for, marching with Confederacy worshipers. How ironic that would be, wouldn't it? But as I said, liberty is not always convenient. It takes work, even when you don't want to. What's that old saying? The price of freedom is eternal vigilance? Something like that? I claim that is real liberalism. That sort of thing. It has nothing whatsoever to do with any particular political party. It could be Democratic, it could be Republican, or Whig, or Green, or Cucamonga, whatever else. Doesn't matter. Rather, it has to do with the preservation of liberty, from which the adjective liberal comes, by the way. That, folks, means following the letter, the Constitution of the United States, guided by the spirit, the Declaration of Independence. When I say I'm a liberal, that's exactly what I mean. And as far as I'm concerned, anything else is not real liberalism. From where I'm sitting, anything else looks like, ultimately, either Soviet-style communism or Italian-style fascism. Either way, it's not liberalism. Not as far as I'm concerned, and it's bad news. And since I believe heart and soul that this is the case, then I also believe, and must believe, that by definition, anybody claiming to be a liberal must, not optional, believe heart and soul in the Second Amendment to our Constitution, and that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Consider the Black Codes of the South, written by those who definitely weren't liberals. Those Black Codes, got news for you folks, they were specifically designed to keep Black Americans from having guns. Consider the 1967 Mulford Act of California, proposed by Assemblyman Rob Mulford, after whom it was named, passed by the California Assembly nearly unanimously, and quickly signed into law by then Governor Ronald Reagan. Consider that law. Guess what? It was aimed directly at keeping black people from defending themselves against police brutality even beyond what happened to Rodney King. My dad was there. He made sure I knew about that, too. Remember where I'm from. Therefore, it amazes me that so many of those who claim to believe in the civil rights movement are the same people who are so quick to toss aside the very tools that ensure those civil rights. That, folks, would be guns. That's exactly why the Black Panthers of the 1960s carried those shotguns in accordance with California law before 1967, I might add. Their statement of, "No, you will not brutalize us like that," was about the most liberal thing I can imagine. It's exactly why the Second Amendment got put in there. Abusive government officials beating the snot out of people to bloody pulps for routine traffic stops. Here in Virginia, where I currently live, we have an organization called the Virginia Citizens Defense League, or VCDL. It's our statewide grassroots pro-Second Amendment lobbying group. It's a lot like the CalGuns Foundation out in California. Every year, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the Commonwealth of Virginia has what we call Lobby Day. It's a day where we, the people, are specifically invited to visit the General Assembly building and lobby our legislators down in Richmond, our state capital. Pretty cool, huh? Well, along with many other Virginians, we of the VCDL, the Virginia Citizens Defense League, do this every year. We go down to Richmond every single year. We lobby our legislators. Now, while we do so armed, we also do so peacefully and respectfully, just like the Black Panthers of the 1960s tried to do in 1967 in California, in protest of that Mulford Act being then debated in the California Senate. We do nothing more today than they did back then. We insist on our rights, and we exercise them as appropriate. I claim that's liberalism. The way I like to sum up the concept to people is, it's basically live and let live. You have the individual right to do basically whatever you want, just so long as you don't infringe on the rights of others to do likewise, even if someone else doesn't particularly like it. That's just tough cookies, folks. It's the price for having a free society. Unfortunately, I've discovered that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans will really defend your rights to say things that they don't like being said. Those in power want just that. Power. And they always want more. Remember what Lord Acton said, all power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Folks, that's something that every last American needs to remember at all times, all times. Remember, liberty takes work, constant maintenance. Liberty, it's just like an expensive Italian sports car. It's a high maintenance item, but I wouldn't want to live in a society without it, high maintenance or not. I've seen the alternatives. I'll take that hard work if it means I get liberty in exchange. You betcha. Every time. So when talking heads like Mr. Beck, Mr. O'Reilly, and Ms. Malkin call me a liberal, they may forget in their blindness what that actually means. But when you liken me to the Founding Fathers like that, that's about the highest praise I can imagine. So I guess I ought to thank them when they say that. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Beck. Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly. And thank you, Ms. Malkin. Of course, they're right. I am a liberal. You bet I am. And as long as I draw breath, I will remain one. I hope that those of you listening will do likewise. The future of our civil liberties is counting on you to do so. See? Told you it might be a bumpy ride sometimes. We aren't always going to agree, but that's America. And as Jesse Ventura put it on Fox News a couple years ago, in our country, that's good. It's what he and I both swore to defend and protect when we raised our right hands. He in the 60s, I in the 80s. This is Cowboy T signing off. Until the next time, safe shooting, and thanks for listening.